That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
Week 11 of the 2025 NFL season is in the books, and NFL's 2025 Week 12 is coming up. Ed Cleese is going to join us as we make some big, bold predictions and some reflections back on the week that's passed. Some great football coming up, some great football that occurred, and Ed's joining us right now in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Before we get into our episode today, let's take the time to drill that football right into the like and subscribe button on your console so you know exactly when the notifications come up of the latest releases of Pigskin Dispatch podcast for some more great football history. Now on to our episode. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another week where we get to go and predict some bold predictions for the NFL games for Week 12 coming up. And as we have every year this year, we've had Ed Cleese join us to help in the programming. Ed, welcome back to the Pig Pen.
Hey, Darren. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ed. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic.
Well, Ed, we had a pretty exciting and eventful week in Week 11 of the National Football League. And what are some of your thoughts coming out of this past week?
Well, I say let's buckle up, Darren, because it's story time with Ed.
So hold on a second. I'm going to put both snaps on both sides of this chin strap here.
There you go. or get a pillow. You know what I mean? And I'll let you know when I'm done.
Okay, I'll assume the crash position.
Speaking of pillow, I've got, hopefully I've brought a few listeners to the pod. You know, I've mentioned my aunt, my mom, my mother-in-law, a lot of my family, some friends.
And my one family, of my, thank you.
one of my friends, his name is Brad, and he is a loyal listener, and I know he listens because he sends me specific comments that we talk about. But what's really funny is he tells me that it helps him fall to sleep.
A backhanded compliment or what the
heck? And he said that he listens to it in segments throughout the week. And I said, Brad, it's like a 35 to 45 minute podcast. Like, you must not get very far before it knocks you out every night if it's taking you 5 days to listen to it.
I think Brad's getting a lot of sleep off of us.
So we are providing some digital NyQuil for my buddy Brad. So if he's up now, I started talking about him. Maybe he's asleep before we get to the end of this. I don't know, but
yeah, Brad, if you're still awake, thank you. If not, sweet dreams.
There you go. So there you go. So, but my first thought was really it has to do with fandom. And like I said, buckle up. So story time. I've got, I'm just old enough to have remembered the very early Gibbs years. Now, I was very young, so those are tougher memories. They're more like snapshots. And I'm definitely old enough to have remembered the second half of the first Gibbs run when they won their second two Super Bowls. That's sort of my glory years, my adolescence growing up watching football. And then unfortunately, I'm more than old enough to have remembered in great detail the following 30 years after the Super Bowls. I was always curious as when I got older and I had kids, if they would kind of adopt it. I've got a 16-year-old daughter And she is a huge, huge basketball fan. That's her game. Huge NBA fan, huge Thunder fan. But she likes football and she likes the Commanders. And she has always watched them with me. And I think we can call her a football fan and a Washington fan. And then a few years ago, my son, who is now about to be 14, started to really get into football, started into playing football and getting into football. And I was like, well, I guess we got another little Washington fan. And then my 9-year-old, she's more into basketball right now, but even she'll wear a jersey or watch the game. So kind of sucking all three in a little bit. And it was the 2022 season. It was the fifth game of the year. We were 1-3. We were playing the Titans at home. And we had spun the roulette wheel that offseason for our quarterback like we did every year. And that year it landed on Carson Wentz. And so that's who our quarterback was in 2022. We were playing the Titans. It was a beautiful day. We're 1-3. It was a very entertaining, good back and forth game. We get a first and goal. We're down by 4 or 5. So a touchdown wins. No field goal does no good. We're down inside the 5, first and goal. 30 seconds left. Less, you know, so it's do or die. And he almost does an interception on second down. Thankfully, the Titans drop it, and we live to fight another day. But as they say, you know, if you don't try it first, try again. If you don't succeed at first, try again. So he did, and he was able to throw the interception on third down instead, which ended the game. And at that time, there was the very beginning pangs and whispers of maybe Snyder being forced to sell. But at that point, it did not feel real. He was still the owner. And that night, my son and I had a moment, Darren, a moment that I will never forget. Because I started thinking that, you know what? I'm stuck in this place, okay? It's too late for me. There's no saving me, okay? I am here forever, and I am now in this black hole with Dan Snyder and the rest of the fans that are still here, and we're here forever. And It is not fair to my son to force him to be here with us. So I took him into our bedroom that night, and I said to him, look, you don't have to do this for me, okay? You can go. I will buy you a Patrick Mahomes jersey. I'll buy you a Josh Allen jersey. You got your grandma's family's from Buffalo. You can root for the Bills. The Chiefs aren't too far away. You can root for the Chiefs. You can't pick anybody else in the NFC East. But you've got 28 other teams that if you tell me right now, Dad, I want to root for somebody else. Because I said to him, because if you keep rooting for this team, this is going to be your life. This is it. Okay? So this is your chance right now to get out. All right? And Darren, this was like one of those, like, you never forget. He looked at me, he said, no, Dad. He said, he didn't even think. He goes, I don't even think about it. He said, I'm in. I'm in just like you. And, you know, obviously that's sort of a, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know whether to laugh or cry or both or be mad at him. You know, I don't know, like, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. So anyway, that's a little backstory. So we suffer through the rest of that season. We suffer through 2023, which was a terrible year, but we had the ownership change. So there was hope, right? There was a lifting. And then we get this beautiful, miraculous, incredible 2024 season that's just like from the heavens, right? And my kids get to experience it. We go to 2 games last year, both two of the best games of the year in the NFL, if not just for the Commanders, both end with Washington touchdowns in the last 10 seconds. And we're there for both of them. We experienced the amazing 2 road playoff games, getting to the AFC Championship, and having this wonderful quarterback there. So now it was an amazing experience, and it felt so worth it. And I was like, well, I'm really glad we had that conversation and he stuck it out. So then we fast forward now to the current time, right? And something I've noticed from them over over the first several weeks is they're already starting to drift with our bad start. Maybe losing a little focus and interest already after being spoiled last year. So I sat them down prior to this week and I said, no. You guys had your chance. You had your chance. I gave you an out. All right. A couple years ago. You didn't take it. So now you're in and now you're locked forever. Okay. And so I said, so get ready because we play in Madrid, the 3-7 Washington Commanders against the 3-7 Miami Dolphins early in the morning. And you're getting up and we're going to pregame just like we always do. And you're going to suffer through it with me just like we always do because that's what we do now. So I get up about 6 a.m. I take the dog for a walk. I go get some of our favorite bagels from our favorite bagel shop. We all sit outside and, you know, they're sort of begrudgingly and dragging out there a little bit. But I'm making sure they got their jerseys on. They got their sweatshirts on because this is what we do now, right? And so we sit out there as a family. We watch the game. It's sort of an oddly entertaining game. And, you know, it's back and forth. And here's what's really funny, Darren. You know, you can convince yourself as a fan, you know the realities, right? You know the records. Mm-hmm. The season's over. You know, there was no saving the season, right? But all of the logic and all of the reality goes away once the game starts. And what happens is the instinct as a fan, as a competitor, is you want your team to win. So the game is close. It's, you know, they wind up with a million chances to win it late. We don't. The Dolphins kind of screw it up. We kind of screw it up. We lose on a last second field goal. And what's really funny is that's our eighth loss this year. It is definitely our least important loss or least impactful. You know, it doesn't really matter, but it bothered me the most for some reason. I don't know exactly why, just sort of that fan thing, maybe because we'd suffered through five straight losses. And I kind of thought this would be a fun morning to get a win and a kind of little bit of a memory and just kind of a, you know, fun thing to do. And it really, really bugged me. And I could tell that the kids could tell, right? Because all of a sudden they started being way nicer than they normally. They're nice kids, but they were being like, my son was offering to help clean up and stuff. I'm like, oh, okay, what's going on here? It's almost like there's been a death or I got fired or something and they're trying to be really nice to me. And I'm kind of do what I do. I tend to pout a little bit in the immediate aftermath of a tough loss where I just get very quiet and just go about my business. And as I'm cleaning up the kitchen, Darren, it's very funny. My 16-year-old daughter, who's a very sweet girl, but is kind of past these types of things a little bit. She walks up behind me. She gives me a hug out of nowhere. And she just says, Dad, I'm sorry the Commanders stink this year. And it was sort of this heartwarming moment where, you know, they realized that how important it is to me. And they stuck it out there with me. And they're kind of in it with me now. So it's just it was just a fun little observation for me about fandom, fanhood, why we do this, you know, and why it matters and why it bothers you and why it makes you elated sometimes and just kind of like the fun of all of it. And then I sent him a text message in our little family group chain the next day when they announced, I thought in 2 weeks when we're off our bye, I thought they were going to flex our game out on Sunday night against the Broncos. It's like, there's no way they're keeping us now, but they announced actually that we're staying. So I sent them all a text message and I said, I'll see you on Sunday night in 2 weeks. Prime time. We'll be right back at it again. You better be ready because this is what we do. You missed your window, kids. You're in it for good now. So that was my experience from Sunday, Darren. And I know you also had yours was more Saturday, but right?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. Western Pennsylvania. Akershire had some of the biggest highlights of the football season, I think.
Oh, that's right, because both games were there. That's right.
Yeah, both games were there. I was in person at the Notre Dame Pitt game and got to see Jeremiah Love with the famous spin move touchdown in the first quarter, which was incredible. If the guy doesn't win the Heisman, I don't know who ever deserves a Heisman because he's unbelievable. And then you know, just seeing a lot of things, you know, a spitting incident where you got a player ejected for punching and now a guy's out for suspended for next week and Jamar Chase. And but Darnell Washington is a freaking beast. And it was one of the most incredible displays. He had two plays. Everybody saw the one where he caught the 17-yard pass and stiff arms a linebacker to the ground, just backs him up, crushes a DB and then runs over another DB and knocks him out of bounds as he goes out of bounds. That was just unbelievable. And you know, fans are going wild on that. I'm watching that on television from home. But today I'm watching all 22 of it, and there was a run by Kenny Gainwell to the right side in the fourth quarter where Darnell Washington leads out. He blocks Myles Garrett and just to clear the path so he doesn't knock Garrett down, or at least knocks him out of the way. And then he goes down and hits one defender into another defender, and these guys are like rolling, you know, ass over teacups as Gainwell gets like a big gain, a big rushing gain. So yeah, Darnell Washington is like a national folk hero in Western Pennsylvania right now. He's the dude. And we have, there's, you always see at Akershire, they show the tramways are going up the hill just outside the stadium across the river. And that is Mount Washington that they're going up and down. Well, everybody has been calling him Mount Washington because he's a very large man. He's very large, yes.
Doesn't look normal when he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, they say he's 260 in the program, but everybody knows he's like 320. You know, he's bigger than the tackles for the Steelers. So, yeah, just unbelievable game of football between Darnell Washington and Jeremiah Love of Notre Dame. Just a great, great weekend.
So some really good football in that stadium, except for the Pitt Panthers. Which made my brother-in-law a little bit sad, which is just great. Just great. Don't tell my mother-in-law, though, that I said that.
No, but it was a pretty cool game, too, because for Pitt fans, because they had they retired Aaron Donald's jersey that game, which was the big fanfare the whole game. They had showing little clips and everything. But Tony Dorsett was in attendance. Hugh Green was in attendance. Darrell Revis was in attendance. They had all kinds of different people coming on there. You know, former coach Dave Wannstedt gave a little speech and got the crowd all riled up. And it was just unbelievable. And then James Conner, who was a teammate of Aaron Donald at Pitt, was on via video and had some nice things to say. But it was really pretty cool. And, of course, they had the whole, you know, the ESPN game day crew there. The ACC game day crew was there. And it was really cool outside the stadium and inside on Saturday. We had a great time.
Yeah, they retired his jersey, and then the Irish retired the Panther season.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Basically. Yeah. They'll still have some bowl season, though.
Right.
Yeah. So – all right, so what else did you have from week 11?
Really, just because I rambled on so long there, I'll keep this thought pretty short. I really just had one. We know something we talked about last week was what happened in Denver. And this is one of the only times I have ever felt this way that I can think of in watching the NFL ever, is that I almost feel like the Broncos win over the Chiefs was more important for the NFL at large than it was for the Broncos. Because we talked about it last week, how I said, I think the Chiefs, if you had me pick, I'd still pick them to go to the Super Bowl. I would put them as number one in the AFC power rankings. And now that's over, because that one more loss changes everything for the Chiefs, because now they're 5-5. They're four games behind Denver, right? And they're, what, two games behind the Chargers. So they are not, and they have losses to both. And then they have losses to the Bills and the Jags, teams that they're competing with for the wild card. So they're in actual trouble. Forget the division. This is 9 division titles in a row. It's amazing. So that's ending. So they will not be playing any home games at Arrowhead in the playoffs this year for the first time in a decade. Okay. So that is a huge change, right? A huge change. So that is really just I still kind of think, if you put a gun to my head and said, are the Chiefs going to make the wild card, I'd probably say yes. I think they'll figure out a way in, but it's no sure bet. And if they do make it in, there's certainly no sure bet that they're just going to run the table 3 straight road games or anything like that. So I no longer feel that the Chiefs are going to win the AFC. It all shifted in that game for me, because that was the one I thought they'd get. That kind of kept them up near close enough to where they could still close things out later. But now they can't. Now they're just fighting to get in, and that's an unfamiliar spot for them. I do think there's a little bit of some people going a little overboard on Mahomes a little bit right now, almost talking about how maybe he's winding down and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, let's pump the brakes on that a little bit. You know, he's 30. Yeah. You know, let's relax. But as far as the Chiefs 2025 season goes, it is now open season in the AFC for sure, to knock them off.
Yeah, I think there's a blueprint out there on how to beat them. Sean Payton really exposed it. And he said all week long leading up to that game that he was going to have his defense. I mean, and Denver's defense is unbelievable. They are stacked. They play well together, and they keep points down. And they definitely did that against one of the more potent offenses in the National Football League. Sean Payton said all week long that he planned on, keeping the ball away from Mahomes and, having his offense run the ball and, eat clock. And they did that too. And just holding them to field goals. And he did that too. Mission accomplished for Coach Payton and his Denver Broncos.
Yeah, their defense is awesome.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. All right. Well, as long as we're talking about week 11, maybe we ought to talk about how we did on our point totals last week for our predictions.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So, Darren, take a bow. You just had the best week that either of us have had. And I don't mean that, yes, it's going to show in the numbers, but also just in how good your picks were this week. They were fantastic. So we're gonna start with, we'll just start with the one you
after
got.
After the pitiful week the week before.
This was quite the bounce back. So you're going to get, we'll start with the one you didn't get any points on. That was the Lions game, going into Philly and beating the Eagles. And that was bad. That was surprising.
A couple of fourth, they had the fake punt that didn't work. They had the fourth down play that didn't work. Campbell, all his risk taking really didn't pay off from where it normally does. And
we talked about that earlier this year a little bit, and I think it holds true. It's hard. It is hard when you establish who you are and your culture and how you do things to then be very critical when you still do those things you normally do and they don't work, because that's sometimes that work. But there is context, there is time and place. And sometimes I think that Campbell is just reckless. You look at that game, the Lions defense was doing a great job. Take the three sometimes. Goff is struggling, right? Take the three. Let's just keep this game going. Put it in your hands of your defense. Punt the ball. When it's a one-score game or midway through the third quarter or whatever, just punt it. Push the Eagles back. They're not driving the ball very well at all either. Trust your defense. There was some of that going on, but really, gosh, it was just a terrible night for Goff, and you weren't close on that one, but
no.
We can get to the ones you were more than close on. So you had the,
I'm happy to talk about those ones.
Yeah, here you go. So you had the Bears winning in Minnesota, DeAndre Swift going for over 100, both of those brilliant way to go. Congratulations. That was you nailed them. You nailed them both. Weird game. Kind of a weird game, yeah. but you nailed them. I mean, that was perfect.
Swift had to come on late because after the first half, he really didn't have anything.
Right, but he closed well, and so you got your two there. You're going to get your two. You said that the Bills would out-duel the Bucks in Buffalo and that Josh Allen have four or more touchdowns. I had six. it's incredible. So you were right on that one as well. Just spot on. Perfect. And then you also had the Rams. Not only did you say they would beat the Seahawks in kind of the game of the week, but they would force four turnovers. How many turnovers did they force? They forced four turnovers.
It was like being in a bakery.
Yeah. You were just turnovers. Yeah. You nice. You were just, I might deduct you for that. Actually.
Oh, okay.
but that was great. And then, so here's what I'm going to do. On the Panther last pick, you had the Panthers beating the Falcons by 10 or more. They beat them, not by 10 or more, but so I was going to give you one for that, but I'm actually going to give you the full two because I felt that by nailing those other picks so perfectly that you just deserved almost like a bonus point because that was to get it so perfect. So you're going to wind up with 8 for the week, which is the highest scoring week either of us have ever had. And that's going to land you at 53 points overall. Then we move on to me. Now, I actually had a decent week, but not quite as strong. I'm on the opposite. We went head to head, and that's another thing. You won both of the head to head games. I get zero for that Vikings game. I know it actually wound up being close at the end and the Bears had to win it on a last second field goal. That actually would have been a kind of a travesty had the Vikings won that game. McCarthy was horrendous. We've talked about it last week. It's just terrible. It's terrible there with the quarterback situation. It doesn't matter that their defense is playing well. It just doesn't matter. So they're ugly. Yeah, they're ugly. They're ugly. So I was off on that. And I'm also going to get a zero because I had the Seahawks beating the Rams. I thought that was a fabulous game. I thought it was a great, entertaining game. And so, sometimes people say if a game is a little choppy or sloppy or there's turnovers, that's an ugly game or not a good game. I think that's sometimes the beauty in football is when it's not pretty and it's not easy. And there are a lot of mistakes being made because that's usually, you know, that was a sign of two teams that I thought were the two best teams in the NFL going in. And they just went toe-to-toe and battled. And despite Darnold's four interceptions, that game was great. It was really great, and it came down to a field goal at the end. So that was a really, really fun game to watch. I do think if you're Seattle, we talked about it just a little bit last week. This is now a pattern with your quarterback dating back to last year with Minnesota. Biggest moments, biggest games coming up short.
Yeah, but I'm sure Minnesota would gladly take him back right about now.
Goodness gracious. They might take back Fran Tarkenton right now. As he sits right now, he might be a little bit better. So I got zero on that. I am going to get two for my other picks. I had the Jaguars winning over the Chargers in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that was a great selection by you.
That was an easy one. I'm also going to get two. I think I'll waffle between one or two, but I said that Jameis would do some fun things for the Giants. They would keep that close and the Packers would win late. So even though the score was 7, the Giants did have the ball inside the 10-yard line at the end of the game with a chance to tie or win. So I'm giving myself two for the Jameis pick.
Yeah, you deserve that.
And I'm going to get two for the Cowboys pick on Monday night, where I said they would win easily, their offense would roll. And so I got the two there over the Raiders. That gives me 6 for the week. That gives me 52 for the year. So last week I ended with a 1-point lead over you and we have now shifted. You now have a 1-point lead over me.
I think we've done that like the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've gone back and forth and somebody's got a 1-point lead and it just
back and forth. It's tight. We're down to about the final third of the season. So it's time to get after it.
Yeah. So we would for combined, we're 14 of the possible 20 points for the week. If I'm not mistaken.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's our better week. We're getting better with age, I guess.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, great picking by you and myself. And, you know, so we have week 12 coming up, and we had some great matchups last week that we talked about. There's some really interesting games coming up for week 12 as well. And I believe you have the first selection this week. So what's your first big, bold prediction?
We'll start Thursday. Thursday night, we have the Bills at the Texans. Really kind of a bummer because I feel like the Texans are coming on, but missing Stroud with the concussion is tough for them. So, but I think that Texans defense is really good. There's some really good defenses in the league and they are in the top 3 or 4, I think. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a comeback to earth game for the Bills going on the road after their offensive explosion last week. It's going to be a battle on Thursday night. The teams are going to combine for 40 or fewer points. And the Bills are going to pull it out late because Davis Mills just isn't going to be able to get it done for the Texans.
Okay, that's interesting. I heard a report today that Stroud is practicing and he may play in this game. So there might be a chance.
That would change my thinking a little bit, but I can't change after the fact. So we'll stick with it.
All right, well, it's interesting you picked on that game because I also decided to take that game. And we're very similar in it, but I have a little bit of a tweak to it. I'm also saying that the Bills are going to sneak past the Texans with a late field goal, but there's going to be less than 35 total points between the two teams.
So even more bold than me. Okay, got it. All right, well, we'll see. That'll be kind of interesting because what do we do if it's, you know, 39, do I win?
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess.
Because it's definitely more than 35, so yeah.
There you go. All right. So yeah, all right. So I could potentially benefit from being less bold. I like it. All right. So then we're gonna go to Sunday now for me, and I am going to say. So I've been pretty good on the Jags this year, picking one way or the other. So I think this week it goes back the other way. They're gonna fly out to Arizona to play the Cardinals, who have looked very bad, who looked really, really lousy the last two games after winning in Dallas. But the Cardinals are gonna beat them this week. The Cardinals are going to beat the Jags straight up. I think you're going to see a little bit of a roller coaster of an end of a season for the Jags, and I think they're going to miss the playoffs. And it's going to be because of they're going to have a trouble in a game like this, one they probably should win, but the Cardinals are going to beat them.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, because I also am picking the Cardinals over the Jags in that game. And, I think Brissett has been playing, you know, well enough to – he's been holding on to the job, you know, whatever Kyler Murray's status is. But I think, you know, Brissett deserves to be there. He's kept them competitive for the most part. And I think they will take that roller coaster ride on the Jags and upend them this week.
Okay. I'm going to pick a road upset here. One that you might be pretty interested in. The Steelers and the Bears are playing in Chicago. And I think both teams are in a position where you would normally stay away or fade them, because they've both been kind of hot, playing pretty well. And this is an area where I kind of usually like to zag, but I can't zag against both of them. So I'm going to say that the Steelers are going to grind out a win in Chicago. It's just going to be a very tough game. It's going to be fairly ugly. I'm basing this prediction on whether Rodgers plays or not. Either way, I feel a little bit better about it, of course, if Rodgers plays. But I think this is going to be a game where the Steelers' defense, which has been getting better, is going to show up, give the Bears some trouble. And I keep saying that the Bears' luck is going to run out. Well, this is the week.
I mean, I did not pick on this game because, you know, talk about roller coaster rides. It seems like the last 3 or 4 weeks, this one week the Steelers look like, you know, they deserve the be in the first place. Next week they look like, you know, how did they get in first place and how are they even competing against other NFL teams? And I'm hoping that you're correct in your assumption, Vin. My heart is saying, yeah, I hope the Steelers do really well and beat the Bears on the road, but I'm not picking this game, but I like your selection.
All right, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go to one that we've talked a little bit about as a possible playoff scenario. And you got the Chiefs and the Colts playing this week. And we talked a little bit about the Chiefs coming up here into this episode from week 11. But, you know, these two teams are sort of almost polar opposites of this year. You know, the Chiefs have been riding high for the last, 8 years or so in the Mahomes era with Andy Reid, you know, pushing all the right buttons. Seems like they can do nothing wrong, you know, offensively and defensively, struggling a lot this year. And the Colts have been one of the hottest teams in the National Football League this year, a very pleasant surprise for folks in Indianapolis. But I think this week the Colts ride is going to slow down a little bit and the Chiefs are going to regain some composure. Chiefs are going to win this by a touchdown or more, and I believe it's at Indy.
No, it's an Arrowhead.
It's that Arrowhead. Okay. But I'm saying that the Chiefs are going to win this game. You know, they had a disappointing loss. They have disappointing offensive performance, but they're going to win this by a touchdown or more. Even though the Colts now are really stocked up with some talent, they have, you know, Sauce Gardner and some of their recent additions at the trade deadline, and they're all playing pretty well anyway. But I think that the Chiefs take this one.
That's my gut too. But last week, like I said earlier, shook me. So with the Chiefs. So now I'm not – normally I'd be like, okay, this is a must for the Chiefs now. They'll get it done. I just don't feel confident in it anymore, because I think, you know, they're sort of past that point where we can just say, they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. You know, maybe they can't. You know, maybe they just won't. And the Colts are really good. I think if I'm picking the game, I'm picking the Chiefs, but I no longer have a lot of confidence in it. And that's why it wasn't on my list. What is on my list is I do think – I don't think I can say with a straight face anymore that I still think the Seahawks are the best team in the NFL. They got beat by the Rams, and the Rams do have a better quarterback. So, you know, it would be – now that I see that and I saw that on Sunday, alters my thought on the Seahawks just a little bit, but I still really like them. They're going to bounce back in a massive way in Tennessee. The Titans have, since they fired Callahan, they've been fighting a little bit. They've been kind of clawing in games, but that's a bad team. They're really yeah. bad. The Seahawks are going to go into Tennessee. They're going to take out some frustrations. They're going to light the Titans up. That game's going to be over at halftime, and the Seahawks are going to win by 20 or more.
Ooh, okay. That's a big prediction. Yeah, especially with the Titans. The Titans were winning part of that game last weekend, which was surprising everybody. I kept
they're
seeing
fighting.
The scores pop up. But
they're playing hard.
Yeah, they are. They are. I like the selection. I did not pick on that game, but I could – you know, I could see that one going either way. With 20 points is a big number, so that is a bold prediction, that's for sure. Well, I'm going to do a bold prediction that I think maybe you might like, and this is going to happen in your NFC East. I'm taking a look at the Eagles and the Cowboys here, and I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Eagles this week. There's, I think the Cowboys have done just enough to shore up their main weakness on defense, which was the running game. Now with having, you know, easily they got earlier from Green Bay in that Micah trade, and now having, you know, Quentin in there in the middle. They're a little bit beefier in there. They got the Luke Wilson, the linebacker from Cincinnati, who adds a little bit of thump to him, stopping the run. And I think that might be the Eagles' bugaboo. They've been you've sensed it a couple times this year, or mentioned it a couple times this year, that the Eagles are sort of a little bit out of sync. They're not the Eagles that they were the last year on offense, and there's something going on there, and nobody's quite put their finger on it, but I think you've sensed it right, and I think that's going to be exposed this week because the Cowboys, we know, can put up points. It's just they normally have some points put up against them too, but I think that has settled down a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to be a perfect defense and that the Eagles won't score, but I think the Cowboys will outshine on the scoreboard and beat their rival.
Well, damn you, Darren. On two accounts. So the first one being, please don't ever assume that I would be happy with Dallas winning a game. the only thing that would make me happy in an Eagles Cowboys game is a meteor. Okay, so let's just make that clear. I would there's never a happy moment when either of those two teams are on the field. So just please, that's insulting. And then secondly, I completely agree. It's my last pick. I thought I would be the one to throw it out there, and I was going to puff my chest out because I'm going to pick the Cowboys to beat the Eagles. But I do. I have Philly. I have Dallas over Philly as well. You know, I've kind of liked Dallas all year, and you know what I'm – hopefully you know what I mean by liked. Maybe respect a little bit. There's something about the way they play that I like. I didn't like the hire of Schottenheimer. I was kind of happy when I saw that they hired him. I thought it was kind of a boring hire. But there's something about him. I think he's doing a nice job. I think their offense looks great, and the defense just had nobody. And as soon as they added some pieces now, they look better. And so this is a weird thing that usually teams don't get in the middle of the season, right? So in the past, week and a half, the Cowboys added a couple of pretty big impact players on defense, both through trades and getting back from injury. So they added several new defensive players, which is a little bit odd for a middle of the season. They had their bye week, which came at probably a good time. And then again, we talked about this. Unfortunately, they lost a teammate. But those sort of tragedies that happen in the middle of seasons, they do tend to sort of galvanize the team. They kind of, you know, provide a focus. And those three things kind of all happening at the same time, I think have changed the trajectory and just sort of how the Cowboys season feels. They get a really nice, good feel-good win against the bad Raiders team. And now they've got a real chance to get into the picture if they can beat the Eagles on Sunday. And I think they will because I think now their defense isn't good, and it probably won't be good, but it's better. And maybe it will be good enough to give their offense the chances they need to score enough to beat the Eagles, who, again, like we keep mentioning, are struggling mightily on offense.
Yeah, I think it's not only shoring up the running game a little bit, against the run a little bit, but I think they've got a little bit of pass rush that they didn't have since Micah's been gone that might really help. And why the Raiders the other night weren't running the ball, I don't know. I mean, I know Dallas was giving them some looks, that, you know, inviting them to pass the ball. But my God, when you have Gentry, you got to run the ball a little bit to keep a defense honest, right? Even if they have nine guys in the box. You know, you got to take a couple of hits, just let the guy run into the line, you know, so they think there's a threat of a run.
It's probably the story of the Raiders season. They have not been able to get the run game going at all year long now. And so they're kind of wasting Ginty. That's the one thing. You're going to take a running back in the top 10. You better have some road pavers for him, or it's not going to work out very well. They kind of did it backwards.
Yeah, I think you're right. They should have got some big guys up in front. So my final pick is, I'm going to go to, you talked about the Rams last week. You know, we talked about the Bucs. They had but how about the Buccaneers? The games, they're like going through a gauntlet of these top teams in the National Football League. And this is like a premier matchup. And I think this is going to be a really fun game, just like the Bucs were against the Bills and the Rams were against Seattle. But, you know, these are big boy pants games here. But I think this week that Baker Mayfield and the Bucs are going to overcome the Rams and in a shootout, just like they had last week. But they're going to beat the Rams at their own game. Mayfield and the Bucs on top.
Yeah, I took a peek at this one, and obviously the only way to make a real bold prediction would be to pick the Bucs to either keep it really close or to win. And you know, I just don't see it. I really like Todd Bowles, like I think a lot of people do. But their defense has these odd moments where they get into way too many shootouts. You know, the Bills lit them up this last week. The Seahawks lit them up in that game a few weeks. The 49ers moved the ball really well with Mac Jones against. So their defense is kind of weird in Tampa. And the team that I saw in LA last week, they look like a team that's ready to win the Super Bowl to me. I don't think they're going to have a letdown. I think it'll probably be a pretty tough game, pretty close game. But the Rams, I think, will win. So I'm going to disagree with you on that. But of course, it's not on my official five.
Yeah. But the main thing it's doing is because they had such an emotional win last week over their divisional rivals. I think there might be a little bit of a hangover, a little bit of a letdown coming, which is natural. It happens all the time in the National Football League. And that's what I'm sort of banking on. And I think the Bucs have a little bit of an edge to them because they, even though it was a 12-point game that Buffalo won, it was a close game for the majority of that game. It was back and forth. It was fun. They were competitive with the Bills. And I think they'll be competitive this week enough to put them over the edge.
And if the Bucs lose, strangely enough, they got the Panthers nipping at their heels right now.
Yeah, and it might be let teams like Dallas and Green Bay and the Lions back into the playoff picture too. So
could be
really interesting. Very, very interesting NFC race for the wild cards and the divisions for the most case. So yeah, pretty interesting. All right. Well, that is our picks for this week. I think I'm not sure. Is there anybody have on a bye week this week or
we do. Darren? I thought you'd be very upset. You don't get to watch Commanders football this week.
Yeah. I was pretty upset about it. Yeah.
It's the Commanders and the Dolphins and then the Broncos and Chargers are the four. I think this is the last week and maybe there's one more. I don't know.
Yeah. I know it's dwindling down here where they're not going to have bye weeks here very much longer, but teams will get no rest till through December. So, but getting into the fun part of the year where the races and the teams are, the competitors are coming to the top and the pretenders are falling back. And this will be a fun one here again.
Hard to believe we'll be talking about Thanksgiving games next week.
Yeah, that is for sure. So, folks, that's something to tune back into. Three games on Thursday next week, and I'm sure we'll be picking at least one of them, each one of us, because those are a good majority of the games. And, of course, the whole weekend of the games after the Sunday and Monday games as well. So tune back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. And, Ed, we'll see you then. So appreciate your thoughts here today.
You bet. And if Brad is still awake, have a good week, Brad.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Sports History Network, where legends live on and the past plays loud.
Welcome to the place where history's proud, from gridiron glory to the hardwood stars, from the racetrack heat to Olympic bars. It's the voices, the stories, the moments you miss, told by fans and pros who live for this. Hook and Famic, the Sports History Network, where the past comes alive, podcasts and blogs that keep the flame high. From Babe to Brady, Alley to the Dome, if it's history and sports, then this is the home. SportsHistoryNetwork.com, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.